Money Matters. I'm John Rudy from Kingston Wealth Management. Thanks for joining us this morning. We've got a lot to talk about today. We're here every week right about this time to talk about kind of what's been happening in the markets, maybe what we kind of think is moving forward, what some of the big stories of the week are. And then we usually try to come up with one or two different items that might be helpful. And today there's going to be a little quiz. I'm going to ask the guys and see how much knowledge they have, and we'll see if they get much right. Joining me today, Chris Rudy, also Mike Flaherty from Kingston Wealth Management. Morning, guys. Glad to have you here today. Hey, I want to start kind of like we always do and maybe talk a little bit about the markets. Mike, you know, you kind of sound like some kind of a broken record from time to time because the stability, the upward trend seems still to be the story. Has there been anything in your eyes to derail that of recent?
Nothing that jumps out. I know Chris and I were talking earlier that all three major indexes this week set new fresh record highs. So as you mentioned, kind of the broken record where it seems like every week we're talking about this continue upside in the market. So I think, you know, you're getting Q3 results, earnings season kicking up again here underway. Saw some of the banks, JP Morgan, Citi report this week, pretty favorable numbers. Nothing that's really sent the market to new levels again, you know, where it's not responding to that. I think what you're going to wonder is those earnings number been priced into the market yet, where it's starting to figure that things are going to be better, or will some of those numbers come out strong enough to continue to push the market even higher? I think that's some of the initial reading on the expected earnings of quarter three. But I don't think you have a lot of those negative things waiting in the wings for us. I mean, I know we've talked about Irma and Maria, yeah, and all the, you know, Harvey, a lot of the devastation coming from the hurricanes.
Starting to play
a lot of the California wildfires going on right now. Man. There's been some devastation out there. So I think those things are always going to be kind of in the back minds of the market of what does that mean going forward. But again, it really comes down to those fundamentals of what are companies doing, earnings, profit, revenue, how does that relate to the expectation, the expectation of what's priced in already, and how does that look going forward?
Chris, one of the things that I always harp against, and I think we all feel the same way, is when you have those downtimes, corrections, and then you pick up a particular publication and they say Amazon lost, for instance, $2 billion there, whatever the value is in their shares because the stocks were down. I'm also equally as bothered by right now when if someone tries to take credit for what's going on, like we've now all of a sudden increased X trillions of dollars in the market in value. That can be fleeting. It can work for you. It can work against you. And I don't think anybody, one person, can take credit for that, good or bad.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really irresponsible on both ends, not only to try to pin something as complex as the stock market on the actions of one person, good or bad, as you point out, or to try to illustrate that, well, you know, either so many billion was created or so many was lost in a day. It really spooks the people that really get hurt the most by trying to anticipate or react to swings, good or bad, in the market. And that's the individual investor and their 401k retirement plan, their IRA that they handle on their own, to try to, you know, identify a positive or negative loss and imply that it's a permanent thing, because we all know these values fluctuate up and down. It's been more up than down lately, but we've certainly seen those times where they do go down. And really the only time that you can really make a temporary loss, and in some case a permanent one, is if you try to sell.
Right.
And you make a transaction that really locks you into either a negative, or if you sell out of a perfectly diversified model to try to chase something that's going, you know, the top of the line thing right now, because chances are by the time you buy into it at the high, it's going to take its turn to pull back a little bit. So really trying to manage expectations, I think, is a good part of any advisor or any good smart investor, to try to really make sense of, don't get too excited either way.
Either way. Mike, much happening. I know the Federal Reserve is weighing on what to do with interest rates. I don't know. Part of me thinks that they might not do anything, but I think more than likely they probably will. What is your take? And what kind of effect do you think they'll have fourth quarter?
Yeah, I think I've still seen kind of the expectation is probably the slight raise in December. has been talked about, but as you mentioned, producer pricing index, things like that are still climbing up. Haven't seen any real big jumps with the unemployment number recently. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's still been strong. So I think those things are kind of lending to everything they've been saying. Well, when these things hit the numbers we're anticipating, we're going to continue to raise. So I haven't seen anything switch on there where we're seeing the unemployment number go the opposite direction.
Right.
See inflation numbers still stay really low where they're needing to, not do anything yet. So I would still probably expect a December rate hike as they've been talking about, but we'll see. They like to throw in surprises every now and then.
Well, as you guys have pointed out, this has been an incredible year. And I know from our office's perspective, this has been one of the busier last 6 months that we've had in a long time. And it's just an interesting time in equities. Guys, we need to come take a break. When we come back, I got a couple more things I want to talk about. Then we'll get into a topic. Back in just a minute.
Have you been to Baxter's Restaurant and Chop House lately? If you haven't, you're missing one of the best dining experiences in the area. Enjoy a certified Angus beef hand-cut steak or perhaps some of their seafood that's flown in daily, as fresh as you can get. Baxter's also features fine wines and spirits to complement their menu choices. And don't forget about daily happy hour specials and gift cards for the holidays. When you're looking for an enjoyable lunch or dinner experience, look no further than Baxter's. Located on East Empire across from the airport and now open in Champaign-Urbana.
When I ask our moms and dads why they chose Katie's Kids, they don't hesitate to tell me that it's the low adult-to-child ratio in our classrooms. And it's the experienced and patient teachers that guide and care for their children every day. Hi, this is Katie, owner of Katie's Kids Learning Center. Our primary caregiving model ensures your child receives the one-on-one attention they want and deserve. What's important to you? Call or come in today to Katie's Kids in Normal or in Bloomington, or visit us online at katieskids.net. Developing relationships, the heart of quality care.
Welcome back to the show, Money Matters. Thanks for taking part of your weekend with us. We're always glad to have you. And before the end of the show, I'll make sure you folks have a phone number if you want to contact Chris, Mike, see if there's anything that they can answer for you. Always glad to do that as well. Guys, one other thing I wanted to just mention quickly. It looks like the president is going to or has signed an order that's going to try to impact the medical insurance, being able to maybe buy across state lines, perhaps being able to buy in some groups. Lot to be determined yet. I don't think there's anything consequential in 2018. I think it's all too late for that. But it will be interesting to see what kind of effect that has, Chris. What do you any thoughts on that?
Well, I think that this is a response to a thing that's been campaigned on for many years, and I think a lot of people were hoping to see some more substantial changes than this, but this is a step in a way to try to kind of reintroduce some of that free market idea of going across state lines, maybe getting these insurance companies to be a little bit more competitive, hopefully drive down some of the costs of some of these plans that we've just seen continue to grow to an almost unaffordable level. So yeah, I agree with you. I think this is kind of a first step in something that hopefully leads to a much larger discussion that they can maybe come to some type of agreement. Like I say, yeah, not likely that there's going to be anything too substantial for 2018, but maybe leads to a bigger discussion.
I just recently got notified by Blue Cross Blue Shield that my plan again is ending. They're not going to have it anymore, and it's going to be replaced by another plan. And I'm sure I'll get the bad news here in about a month. So I'm not expecting it to go down. Let's put it that way. Guys, let's switch gears a little bit. There was a great article in the Wall Street Journal a couple of weeks ago that kind of had a little question and answer about testing your smarts on 401ks and IRAs. And we're not going to get to all of them, but there's a couple of them I want you guys, maybe we'll try to go through it to have a little fun with it. Mike, I'll start with you. And this is kind of a true or false. Roth 401k owners must take required minimum distributions, RMDs, just as owners of traditional 401ks do. Is that true or false?
Yeah, that's true. And just to kind of refresh, the Roth option is really where people are putting in those after-tax dollars and the money's growing tax-free. But it's important that people differentiate that Roth 401k, mm-hmm. where you're making those Roth contributions from the employer-sponsored plan, from the Roth IRA, where you're doing it individually outside of your employer-sponsored plan. So it would really work similar to a traditional IRA or traditional 401k, where at 70.5, you have to take that required minimum distribution. The kind of the way to avoid that is really before 70.5, rolling that Roth 401k into a Roth IRA.
Mm-hmm.
So the traditional IRA, you're still going to have that required minimum distribution at age 70.5. But when you're working with a Roth IRA, you don't have that requirement. So as long as you get that Roth 401k rolled over to your Roth IRA before 70.5, that required minimum distribution requirement for that Roth 401k goes away.
Great. Let's give one to Chris here. Chris, if you've got an IRA and a 401k, you must take an RMD this year from both accounts, which is correct. A, you must take a distribution from each account separately. B, you can add together the required distribution and take it from the IRA. C, you can add together the required distribution and take it from the 401k. Or D, you can add together the required distribution and take it from either. Which one is that?
You're really making us work this
morning. I am, yeah.
But, the answer is actually A. You must take a distribution from each one separately. And, you know, the reason being is that required distributions must be calculated separately for the employer plan and taken from each plan individually. For IRAs, you can take one RMD. Mm-hmm. If you happen to have multiple IRAs, you can take enough to cover the from all the multiple ones from one account. But if you've got those separate employer plans still participating or still enrolled in the 401k, you got to take it from each one of those separately.
Great, that's good to know. Mike, I want to give you one here because this is a scenario that comes up, and I think it's confusing from time to time. The idea is that John reached 70 on January 31 of 2017. What is the deadline for him to take his first required minimum distribution from his traditional IRA? Is it A, December 31 of 2017, B, October 15th of 2017, C, April 1st of 2018, or D, January 1st of 2018? What's the right answer?
Yeah, the correct answer there is C, and that's the April 1st of the following year, so April 1st, 2018. So really, you know, and a lot of this can vary. I mean, had John been born 6 months earlier, where he turns 70.5, you know, on December 31st of 2017, well, then that becomes different than how many months he still has,
right,
to when he can start those RMDs. It's kind of a long-winded answer, but it's really April 1st of the year following the year you turn 70.5.
Okay.
Right. So I turned 70 on, as John did here, in January of this year. Well,
right,
he's going to be 70.5 still this year.
Mm-hmm.
So he has until the following April 1st. So then working with your advisor, you can determine, do I want to wait until April? Because if I wait till next year, I'm going to have to take two RMDs, one for this year, and then still my 2018 RMD. Or do I want to take it in the year I turn 70.5? That way I only have one this year, one next year.
Right.
So an advisor can help you when you get to that point of determining what fits best to your financial situation, your tax situation, to address that. But it is important for people to understand they have those few extra months in that year following the year they turn 70.5.
I think what I'm hearing you guys say is that's one that you want to make sure you work closely with your tax preparer or your advisor to,
yes,
make sure,
absolutely,
you get the right thing for you. These are all individual. Chris, throw you one here. Which of the following is subject to the one-year rollover rule limit? In an individual perform 160-day rollover during a 12-month period. A, a rollover from a simple IRA to a traditional IRA. B, a rollover from 401k to a 403b. C, a rollover from pension plan to a government 457 plan. Or D, a rollover from a traditional IRA to a 401k plan.
And that's going to be A, also a rollover from a simple IRA to a traditional IRA. IRS states that you can make only one rollover, actually, from an IRA to another or the same IRA of the same type, mm-hmm, Roth or non-Roth, in any 12-month period, regardless of the number of IRAs you own.
Okay.
This limit applies to aggregating of all of an individual's IRAs, including SEPs, simples, as well as traditional and Roth IRAs, effectively treating them as one for purposes of this limit. And really the thing that you really need to think about is, a rollover in this case is deemed as something where you've taken money out,
mm-hmm,
you've taken possession, and then you're going to roll it over into another qualified account within that 60-day window. The way you can get around a lot of this is doing a direct trustee to trustee transfer.
Okay, which is always advisable.
Which is advisable, number one, because you're not deemed to have received that money. You're not deemed, there's no chance where you can be, held out saying, hey, I took a taxable distribution, and the record keeping of it is a lot easier. So in an area where you have an option to do a rollover or a transfer, you know, I think in most cases we would advocate that you look at that trustee to trustee transfer. Just makes it simpler, cleaner, easier for you. But good to know those rollover rules if they do apply.
Mike, we'll kind of finish with this, but I think the goal that we're talking about here and the reason why I wanted to bring this article up is you're really trying to avoid mistakes. You don't want to pay penalties. You don't want to do something like that. And I think by visiting some of these things, and again, I think one of the things it illustrates, this stuff can be difficult, even for you guys. I think there was one on the list that you guys said, well, I wasn't even sure if I knew that correctly. So it's important to stay on top of things to make sure that you're not giving a check to the IRS that may or may not have to be given because you work too hard for those retirement dollars and you want to save them for fun, for your future, for your legacy, and things of that nature. Guys, we need to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the 1987 crash. Hard to believe it's been that many years ago. Back in just a minute.
Our parents take care of us through every stage of our life. They hold our hand as we take our first steps. They cheer us on as we move through life's milestones. And they celebrate with us as we venture into the world as adults. When it comes time to focus on caring for our parents, show them how exciting retirement living can be at Westminster Village. Westminster Village, a continuing care retirement community, offers more than a place to live. They offer a worry-free lifestyle with ample opportunities to celebrate every step of life's next journey. Westminster Village provides independent living, licensed assisted living, and skilled nursing care, so our parents are always taken care of. Our parents guided us through all of life's adventures. Now's our chance to help them celebrate theirs. To learn more about the finest in retirement living, visit westminstervillageinc.com and schedule an appointment today. That's westminstervillageinc.com.
When is the last time your bank did something exciting? Something truly amazing. It's time you discover Bloomington Normal Community Bank, your home for amazing banking experiences.
With the Amazing Account, your checking account earns an annual percentage yield of 5.01% on up to $5,000, rewarded to you in points.
Then you can redeem these points for gift cards, travel, merchandise, even cash.
Plus, there are other ways your Amazing Account earns points, like using your debit card. So why choose ordinary when you can have something amazing?
Some conditions apply. Come see one of our amazing bankers. We have time for you. Bloomington Normal Community Bank, a division of Morton Community Bank, member FDIC.
Welcome back to the show, Money Matters. I'm John Rudy from Kingston Wealth Management. We've got a few more minutes here left. Certainly want to thank our sponsors who are always with us, Bloomington Normal Community Bank, Katie's Kids Learning Center, Baxter's Grill, and the Westminster Village. We always appreciate those companies who are proud of being with the show, and we're always glad to have them as part of the morning. Guys, I know you're want to remind folks, too, if they want to get a hold of you next week, they can reach you guys at 663-9477. I mentioned the last 6 months, we've been very, very busy. Part of it's because of this show. You guys have had several calls, people taking advantage of an opportunity at a no-cost kind of initial meeting to at least get some understanding of maybe what they got. And so we'll always invite folks to do that. And I encourage you to take advantage of these guys. That they're good at what they do. Guys, 1987, we saw a crash. That was a very, very big day. You guys were, I think Chris was one. Mike, you weren't much older. But it was a long day. And I think it was 500 some odd points, but Chris, it amounted for about 22-23% of a drop. In today's equation, that would be like a 5,000 point drop roughly, which would really spook some folks. What was your take from what you've read, know about that? What was the big takeaway from that?
Well, I think number one, it's the first of many, you know, things where we started to see computer trading really start to come in. You didn't have a lot of access for individual investors, so you had institutional folks coming in, placing big futures trades, and it really just kind of pushed the market into a free fall. Certainly wasn't the first time we've seen something like that happen, but it had been such a long time. And, you know, I think the article you're referencing, the big takeaway there is we didn't have something in place that was a security that represented the market itself, that somebody could make and trade like a stock. And what it really builds into is that was really, after kind of analyzing all the things from that day, was the emergence of the exchange-traded fund, something that could trade representative of the index, the S&P 500, but you could trade it like a security, like a stock. So it really gets into, you know, number one, I don't think a lot of people realize that as bad as it was that day, the market actually still finished positive for that year. So it's another example, another lesson of if you didn't panic, if you were able to withstand that, you know, maybe you lost some of the earning that we had showed for that year, but still came out okay.
And Mike, you know, from your perspective, and I think it's something you guys talk about clients a lot, is we're going to have situations, maybe not that big, of course, and it could, nobody knows, but that's where you guys really try to work with a client ahead of time to make sure their expectations aren't unrealistic and that they're prepared.
Yeah, and having the right allocation. So, I mean, if you're 100% in the Dow on that day,
right,
you saw a temporary market drop in your account. But even as you mentioned, you know, the market still finished positive for the entire year. I think this article references that, you know, the next day was up 6%.
Yes.
The day after that, it was up 10%.
Yes.
So a lot of that stuff comes in a quick correction mode. But having the correct allocation to your risk tolerance and what your investment goals are for the long term, and not being in a position where you need to react what the market does in any one given day.
Well, let's hope we don't have too many more days like that. They're never fun in our business. They're never fun for anybody. It's a gut-wrenching deal, and we certainly understand that as well. Guys, we're about out of time. Thanks for taking part of your morning with us. Thank the listeners for joining us as you do every week. We'll be back next week with another edition of Money Matters. Till then, this is John Rudy saying thanks.
Securities offered through Valmark Securities, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Valmark Advisors, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor. Kingston Wealth Management, Inc. is a separate entity from Valmark Securities, Inc. and Valmark Advisors, Inc.
With increasing average lifespans, it's imperative for baby boomers to search for resources in retirement planning. The baby boomer generation is most afraid of a shortage of money post-retirement. Without a good financial plan, you may be forced to live a substandard lifestyle due to the fear of exhausting your money. There is also the possibility of overspending and then outliving your retirement savings. A good financial advisor's advice is sorely needed to meet possibilities like this. The professionals at Kingston Wealth Management can help build your retirement plan and assist you in navigating your way through the retirement planning process. They will discuss with you the five major reasons why baby boomers may not be able to afford retirement. Call them at 663-9477 and make an appointment today. Let the Kingston Wealth Management team prepare you for your retirement you've worked so hard for. Kingston Wealth Management, financial services above and beyond.
Securities offered through Valmark Securities, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Valmark Advisors, Inc., and SEC-registered investment advisor. Kingston Wealth Management, Inc. is a separate entity from Valmark Securities, Inc. and Valmark Advisors, Inc.